Good morning. And welcome to Little Swatara this morning. I'm glad to see that all of you could swim, because obviously that's what you had to do to get here. I'd just like to make a couple highlights this morning, but before we start with our announcements, we would like to roll right into our first hymn, which will be our call to worship. So if while you're listening to me, you could go ahead and get out your hymnal, that would be lovely. I'd just like to highlight that this Saturday we're going to have our craft show for the fall. There's usually some goodies done by the Ladies Aid, and it's usually lots of fun. So come on out and attend that. I also want to highlight that next Sunday there will be caroling after church. So if you have a musical voice or you just like making a joyful noise, either is fine. Come on and join us. All right. I'm not seeing any other announcements that need made this morning. Does anybody in the congregation have an announcement they'd like to bring up?
I just want to really emphasize the changes for the 2020 directory. I found out last week somebody's phone number was wrong all year. Tell us. So you can tell the secretary or put a note in my mailbox or Diane and I mailbox. Because we're trying to get the 2020 directory as accurate as we can.
Okay, so for anybody who's with us online this morning, that's 2020 directory corrections need to go to Burl or the secretary. I believe Diane High is also on that committee, so they can go to her as well. Somebody's phone number was wrong all year last year, so make sure you double check or you won't get any calls from the church. All right, I'd like to move on to our call to worship this morning.
Thank you. Indeed, I pray that's our story and that's our song, that we indeed are praising our Savior all the day long. Amen? Any joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning? We have a microphone coming around. I invite you to put your hand in the air, and we'd love to hear from you. We do want to invite you to keep Anna Mary in prayer. We just received a message from the family that she's struggling breathing right now. So the family is gathered by her side, and just keep Anna Mary and especially Hershey in your prayers as they go through this time together. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the many fond memories we have of sharing life together. And we just pray now, Lord, as we continue to pray for one another, we would pray with purpose. We would pray with power through the Holy Spirit, knowing you are an active God, knowing that you are a God that meets our needs, that provides everything we need each and every day. And Lord, whatever it is in this very hour that we need, we pray that it would come to pass. If it be healing, Lord, I pray for healing. If it be comfort, Lord, I pray for comfort. If it be for salvation, I pray that today may be the day that we trust and believe in you. We just thank you, Lord, for all things good and those things that can be trials and those things that can make us even stronger. We thank you for. So, God, this morning, we just pray especially for those on our prayer concerns. And we lift up the Bryant family. We lift up Denise. We lift up Beverly and Carl and Vera and Nolan and Sandy and Naomi and Tim. And we lift up Anna Mary this morning and just pray that your will would be done in each of their lives. We thank you for the precious, precious gift that you have given us in friendships and in relationships. And most importantly this morning, we just thank you for you, the relationship we know that would never leave us alone, that you are always with us and you guide us, you search us, you know us, and you continually love us. So we thank you this morning for that unconditional love, that it can be our story, it can be our song, and we can praise you every day. So thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you and to praise you. And we just pray now this morning for the sins that have entered our lives. We confess them to you during these next few moments of silent prayer, and also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for always hearing our prayers. Lord, not a day goes by that we don't thank you for the cross. We don't thank you for the freedom that we have because of the price that you paid for our sins. We don't take that lightly, and each day we evaluate ourselves and we look at ourselves and we realize where we've strayed from that path that you've called us to live like your son. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us, Lord, and may we continually be a person, a people that repents each day. And we just thank you for loving us, for caring for us, supporting us, and showing us what we need. And we just pray throughout the rest of this day and the days ahead, Lord, that we would continually keep our eyes fixed upon you. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
I often share stories, and I kind of struggled coming up with one this morning, but I think I found a good one. As a nurse, you have to listen to the little voice in the back of your head. Sometimes things just aren't right. That little voice is telling you, deep in the pit of your stomach, you know, something is just amiss. I need to do something different. And I want to invite you today, even if you may not be a nurse, to listen to that little voice in the back of your head, because God has a plan for that little voice, and he's telling you, without you really knowing, exactly what he wants you to do. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for planning and having marvelous things for me to do with my life. Thank you for uniquely gifting me and placing me on this earth, this very moment in history, that I might serve you with my gifts. I am the only one who can do these things that you created me to do, Father, and I ask you to empower me and to help me faithfully use my time, my energy, and my gifts to serve you. God, I ask that you help me listen to that little voice in the back of my head when you're nudging me to add an extra number into my offering, to go out and serve, to volunteer, to go caroling to the shut-ins, to just take the extra time to pray for someone, God. And I thank you that we can all hear that little voice and know that it's you back there. Amen. Ashes can come forward. I'd like to invite the children to come on up. You're all gonna have to get right in here. We're gonna do a little activity, so make sure you sit somewhere where you can, careful. So, I have a puzzle to do today. We need to mess it all up first so we can put it back together. Good job. So I have a picture here. This is what it looks like, and I want you to go ahead and put the puzzle back together.
Not quite. There you go. I think that one has a straight edge. Maybe it goes at the top. There you go. Oops, sorry, your picture went off. There it is. Good job, just a couple more. Awesome. So you guys helped each other. You put that together pretty quickly. It's fish for the rain today. Now, can you put together this puzzle? Any ideas? Some of these pieces look like they might go together. I can give you a couple more. You can even look for some more. There's 1,000 pieces in this puzzle. I haven't been able to put it together for 2 years. You got one, yeah, it looks like you did. So, how hard is it to put together this puzzle when you don't know what it looks like?
Pretty hard.
Pretty hard. How hard is it to put together a puzzle with this many pieces?
Hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. How hard do you think it is for God to put together a puzzle with this many pieces?
Pretty hard.
You think it's still pretty hard?
Easy.
For God, I think so. I think for God it's pretty easy. You know why? Do you think maybe he can see what the puzzle looks like,
Yes. Even
when we can't? So this is kind of like your lifetime as a person, as a Christian. We have all these little tiny pieces. This one here is going to school. This one here could be going to church.
Yummy.
This one is helping out your friend. This one might be something bad that happens. But guess what? In the end, I promise, they really do all fit into one big puzzle. And they make one heck of a pretty picture. And this is kind of like how God gives you life. God doesn't say, here's my great plan for you. Here's what we're going to do. Here's why all these bad things are happening. God says, I promise, in the end, it's going to look like a pretty picture. Because I can see exactly where all these pieces go. And I'm giving you the ones that you need right now. And you may not see how it fits in yet. But I promise, in the end, you'll see how it fits. Honestly, guys, I don't know if these pieces even go together. So if you could help me put them back in the cup, we'll pray here. Yeah, you got one. Dear God, we pray today that you would be able to let us trust in you, even when we don't see the big picture, even when we have little to no guidance of where your plan is going. God, we pray that you help us see and trust that you have a plan for each and every one of us and that these pieces all do fit together to make something wonderful. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray in this very hour that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, as the message is received, that you would then use us, Lord, to lead others towards you. I pray that what I say would bring glory to you, and that I pray the believer would grow, and that the seeker would find you. And I pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. When we trust in God, we trust in his plans. When we trust in his plans, we're moving towards what's best for us. Amen? Now, planning can be a good thing, but let's not plan to the point it keeps us from trusting God. You see, it's all about dependence, not always having it our own way. And let's face it, our way isn't always the best way. What very well could happen is our ways don't leave room for God's ways. So to have his way in us, headed in the direction that is best for us, our trust needs to be fully in him. And here's what that's looked like since Genesis chapter 1. God the Father planned the work. God the Son worked the plan. And God the Holy Spirit actualized the plan and the work. It's called the Trinity. God, three in one, and they're still all at work today. So we continue in our series, Wait, What? Remember the things that make us go, They raise an eyebrow, they make us think, they cause us to dig deeper within God's word. Nuggets of information, fun and fascinating facts from the Bible we may never have really paid attention to. Like 2 Kings 11, 2 and 3. Did you know baby Joash was hidden in a bedroom for 6 years to keep him safe from a wicked queen? Now that's taking go to your room to a whole new level. Then he's only out of his room for a year. He's age 7 and he's crowned the king. In Zechariah 5, 1 and 2, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's actually a scroll flying through the air. 30 feet long, 15 feet wide. I wonder, is that where the idea came from when we go to the beach and we see the banners flying along the ocean? And just one more fun fact from Jeremiah 38, verse 6 and verse 10. After telling people things they did not want to hear, Jeremiah gets thrown into a muddy pit and he sinks down so far it takes 4 men to pull him out. These were fun, fascinating facts. But could it be why God doesn't always tell us his plan? Because we may not believe it anyway. Let's turn to our scripture, a very well-known scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. If you've graduated from anywhere, you may have already received a card with this scripture in it. But let's dig a little deeper into Jeremiah 29:11 after saying it together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, other versions may say plans for welfare and not for evil. Now, when we look at this scripture, we keep in mind two very important things. First, we need to interpret it. Second, we need to apply it. Believe it or not, a passage can only have one meaning, but it may have various applications. And you guessed it, Jeremiah 29:11 is no different. This verse only has one meaning. But when we don't look beyond that verse 11, we don't realize it's addressed to the exiles in Babylon. The storyline goes, as the punishment for the sins of Judah, God was going to send the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and to carry away many people to Babylon. By the time Jeremiah writes chapter 29, Nebuchadnezzar already has done this, and the total destruction of Jerusalem and the temple is yet to come. So Jeremiah writes to the exiles to tell them that people would return to the land after 70 years. But if you've never read verse 10 and you've only focused on verse 11, you wouldn't realize that God is reassuring them they will not be forsaken, that they indeed will be restored. God's plans for his chosen people, as the New Living Translation describes, were for good and not for disaster, to give them a future and a hope. So in essence, the primary application of Jeremiah 29:11 has nothing to do with anyone living today. As a matter of fact, this verse applied only to the Jews who were in exile in Babylon during the 6th century BC. However, this is where we can wipe the sweat from our brows. The feeling expressed here is so beautiful. It's so encouraging. There is a way it can apply today. Do you see God's grace? Do you see his affection for those he loves, including us, the modern church? Now, here's how we can apply it today. The unchanging nature of God. You see, God promises to bring Israel back. Therefore, the exiles could be assured they had a future. They had a hope. This promise was not made to all nations at the time, but only to Israel. Likewise, God promises believers in Christ certain things not applied to the entire human race. Stay with me. For those who are in Christ, God promises our sins are forgiven and we stand before God justified. What this means is God has plans for those in Christ, and those plans are always good. Those plans are something we can look forward to. Those plans are for our best. Friends, as believers in Christ, we can be confident that all things will work together for our good and that God has a future plan for us. We have a hope that does not put us to shame, as Romans 5:5 describes. We have promises that we can rely on, just like Israel. So here's the thing. If by quoting Jeremiah 29:11, we're thinking of security in Christ, then the wording fits, even if the historical context doesn't. But let there be a word of caution. This promise is for those in Christ. Yet if you come to him, even today, this very hour, that promise of a future and a hope is for you. Friends, maybe you're here today and you've been seeking. The question today for you may be, won't you trust him? Won't you say yes to his plans for your life? But that caution continues, that the promise to the nation of Israel that it would be restored, actually only a few of the exiles lived to see that fulfillment 70 years later. Most of them died without seeing the future God had planned. So likewise, the future and hope that we have in Christ are not a guarantee that things will always go well in this life. That word prosper doesn't mean we're always going to be blessed. For most believers throughout history, for most believers in the world today, the world can be a dangerous place. In fact, even though believers face all kinds of danger, Christ will never abandon them. You see, brothers and sisters, in this life, believers have hope because the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts. It's only after this life that the suffering is over, that prosperity is fully realized. Friends, to use this as a stand-alone verse, you know what it looks like? It looks like God wants to make us popular. It looks like God wants to make us rich. He wants us to always be healthy, and he wants us to be well known. It's like saying God is declaring the American dream over our lives. But we all know that's not the case. But we also know God is not done yet. You see, God hasn't given up on us. We still have that choice for a future and a hope. It's in our hands. That word prosper means that we can have a physical and we can have a spiritual salvation. It's a beautiful promise that God's not done yet, and our future and our hope are only in Him. The promise is that He will see His plans through. And should we choose, we can be a part of that. So maybe today you're in a stage of life where you're planning, where you're thinking about something new, something big, a new vision, a dream you've been seeing come to life. You've done all the human planning you can do. You've researched, you've vision mapped, you've written it all down, you've sought counsel, you talked it through with anyone and everyone. You are at the point you have all the advice you need, all that's essential and absolutely necessary. But as a believer, one who believes in, one who lives for, and one who serves Jesus Christ, there's one more step before doing anything else. Proverbs 16:3 says it like this: commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. You see, indeed, God knows the plans He has for you. But there's a powerful truth we find in that word, commit. Literally, it means to roll upon, as in rolling one's burdens onto the Lord. It says, Lord, I completely depend upon You. Whatever the plans we have, now may be the time to humble ourselves and to diligently pray that this plan, this vision, this dream has to have God's approval. So here's our challenge today. Might we be still? Might we drop our agendas? And might we make certain we commit our plans first and foremost to the Lord? For God knows what He has in store for us. And we can find comfort it involves a future and a hope. Still, there may be some things that might never make sense in this life. It sure seems that way to the Israelites that died in captivity. But friends, always treasure this inmost knowledge. God can see things we cannot. God can see things we cannot. And the greatest news this morning is this: one day things will be revealed and we will see the larger picture. That puzzle called life will finally be put together. But friends, until then, we have this promise that God is with us, that we can find peace, that we can find rest. And this gospel message that Jesus saves isn't just one of an easy life. Rather, as we all very well know, it's a life which lets us know we'll never be alone amidst our struggles. And I don't know about you, friends, but that is a life worth living, a life worth trusting in our Father's plans. No matter what your present circumstance looks like, God knows what tomorrow and the future holds. He can take that pain and He can create beauty. He can take that confusion and He can make sense. He can take whatever it is right now in your life, holding you down, keeping you from moving forward, and crush it like a soda can beneath our feet. Because that's our God. That's the God that saves. That's the God that watches over us. That's the God that says, not today. What's happening right now matters. You see, it's something building upon something to create something even greater in your life. And it shall be good, because God creates good even out of the most horrific circumstance. God takes what's worthless and makes it worthy. And He may be calling your name right now in this very moment, saying, come unto Me. Come to My open arms. And He's inviting you to receive a love that transforms, a forgiveness through the cross that frees, a life that will go on forever. Friends, that's our God. That's the one that we can rely on. He'll lead us on, He'll take us through, and we'll never be alone. For we know God's not done yet. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know our hearts. You know the place they are in right now. You know the suffering we're enduring. You know the place we find ourselves that seems like there really isn't much of a future. You know our hearts that are far from you, that have been lost along the way, that have struggled, that have doubted, that have questioned. And Lord, today we confess that we need you more than ever. We confess, Lord, that in this very hour, we've been trying to do things our own way. And today we commit to your way. We lay it all aside, all our plans, and say yes to you, Lord. May your plans unfold. May your approval be upon what I see my vision being. So, Lord, have your way today with each of us. And I pray for any heart here today that has not yet been transformed by the love of Christ, that they might say, yes, Lord, yes, I receive you, I trust you, I believe in you, I want you to be Lord of my life, take control, lead me from this day forward. And having done that, know that you are a precious child of Christ, welcome to the kingdom. But for now, Lord, we rest in your assurance that you are with us. Thank you for the knowledge and the comfort that that gives. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. Be assured today, be comforted today that God has a perfect plan for your life. And no matter what's happening right now, in Jesus' name, may his plan burst forth. And may you find the comfort, the peace, the rest that you need in this very hour. Be led by the Spirit. Be free from the forgiveness of the sin that Jesus offers. And go in peace, sharing that peace with others in love. Amen.